Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
When you hit a rash of injuries, those are the things that we should and must be able to count on. And hit that with the staff today, and that's disappointing to us. So our focus needs to be sharper. That's the bare minimum. And we're going to dig in to find out how we improve upon that. So that is our focus, the focus itself, to make sure, like, eliminate things if we need to be sharper and cleaner of how we play. But one thing I do know, we'll also make the choice to absolutely go for it. Not going to be easy, but we're not staying in this space either, you guys. So our identity has not come together. And these next four games until our bye, we got a lot of work to do to help create that. But the inconsistency is the thing that, man, we're gonna hammer this out. And we're going to get there, but it's frustrating. And that's where we're at today. So lots to work on. I told the team we had – last night, 8 days to our next game, we got a lot of work to do. So that's where I'm at, and I'll get started with you guys.
That was his open to his Monday day after press conference. That was the coach, of course, Dan Quinn. He said early in that soundbite, he just said, we're off course. He talked about how Navy SEAL friends of his, sometimes they're diving or they're sailing with no GPS, no landmarks. And he said, you know, you need to know where you are, where you're going, and what bearings you're in need of. And just two or three degrees off, and you're off course. And he told the team yesterday, that's where we are right now. We're off course. And you heard the rest of it after that. Good morning, everybody. I actually really like Dan Quinn a lot. I will tell you this, though. You know, he does his press conferences in a very unique way. Most coaches don't get up with a theme to every press conference. He does. He comes in, he has some opening remarks, and there's usually, you know, some sort of lesson or theme or what he and the team are talking about, you know, on that particular day or the day before. Most coaches come in and say, Harry Blappentap has a broken ankle and Billy Johnson's got, you know, a hamstring. I'll take questions. You know, they'll give you the injuries, and then they'll just say, take questions. It's not what the coach does. I appreciate that. He takes these opportunities to get the message out to the fan base through the local beat media that covers the team every day and works very hard to do it. He takes that opportunity to deliver a message every day. He did it in Dallas. He did it in Atlanta. I watched some of his press conferences when they hired him, and he started as the defensive coordinator in Dallas every press conference with a story or a theme or some sort of life lesson. And so that's what we got yesterday. We are off course right now, and we got to get back on course. At 3-4, they're off course. And defensively, they are way, off course. And yesterday, as part of the early portion of the press conference, he did and was asked about the injuries, and he gave updates. And the good news on Jaden Daniels is that he had an MRI on his hamstring, and it's not a significant injury. It's not going to knock him out. Now, it might be a game on Monday night. We'll find out. By the way, this is a Monday night game coming up, which means that we don't have to hear from Quinn again until Thursday. His obligation is Thursday instead of Wednesday, and that's when we'll get an update on Jaden Daniels. I have no idea. I don't really have a lean one way or the other as to whether or not he'll be ready to play on Monday night against the Chiefs. But the news was good on Jaden. The news was bad on Dorrance Armstrong. He is done for the year with a torn ACL. That is devastating injury news for this team and for a defense that already is dreadful and needs every good player they can get if there's going to be any sort of hope for a turnaround. Dorrance Armstrong, you could easily make the case, has been their best defensive player this year. Sheehan, like, who cares? I mean, you know, with him they stink, without him they'll stink. Yeah, you could stink even more on defense. And they got, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff and the Lions in Seattle who can really do it. Jackson Smith and the Jigba right now, top five receiver in the game. After watching last night, that game, by the way, the smell test finally cratered. Now, it was a 500 weekend, 5-5-1. 0-4, though, on the NFL. Had Houston last night. God, there were so many chances, Max. I don't know if you, I bet nobody stayed up to watch this game. But they had so many chances to cover at the end of the game. They were down first and goal at the one and came away with nothing. They had so many opportunities, but they didn't get it. You know, they didn't get there. And 0-4 on the NFL, 5-5-1 weekend. Still don't have a losing weekend record-wise on this season so far, but kind of came back to the pack a little bit with a 500 weekend. Yes, I understand 500 is losing money. Okay, I've done this before. I understand that you don't, you know, bet 100 and lose 100. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, when you bet 100 or you bet more than that, you lose typically 10% of your, you add 10% on top of that. That's usually what the losing number is. So if you bet 100 and win, you win 100. If you bet 100 and lose, you lose 110 bucks. That's called the VIG, the juice. That's how books make money. There are other ways, but that's how they make money. They charge you a fee. It's called the Vigorish, or it was way back in the day. The game was really impressive from a Seattle standpoint. That's the opponent for Washington a week from this coming Sunday night. They'll break out the old uniforms. I'm very much looking forward to that. Yes, I am. But Jackson Smith Njigba, 8 catches, 123 yards, and a touchdown. He is, it's, Max, am I exaggerating? Top five receiver right now in the game.
No,
he may be the toughest cover.
Bro, I said it during buy and sell last week that, like, he's potential MVP offensive player of the year if Puka goes down, and he's proved it every week. I was really, there were a lot of questions with Seattle losing DK and Lockett. Like, can JSN make that step into wide receiver one? And he has silenced every doubter in the room.
There's still something about Darnold. I'm getting sidetracked here, but I did watch that whole game last night. Watch the baseball, watch the Tampa-Detroit game too. Darnold still will make some of the dumbest plays. I mean, he had ample opportunity in the third quarter from his own end zone to unload the football, and he took a sack, fumbled, touchdown Houston. He threw a pick late in the game. They're up, you know, by 15. There's no, look, he can spin it. There's never been a question about whether or not Sam Darnold can spin it, and he's got a quick release. He just sometimes, when he doesn't see it, it ends up being the worst play possible. You know, even last year in Minnesota, he had great games, and then there would be a game, including that season finale against Detroit or the playoff game against the Rams, where it's like, yeah, he's just not, he doesn't have clarity today on what they're doing defensively. And instead of, you know, throwing the ball away or checking to runs, He just makes some dumb plays occasionally, but they look good, man, to me. They look really good on defense. Houston, by the way, is really good on defense. They just, it was kind of an ugly game, but yeah, I was up until 1:20 watching that, trying to get the backdoor cover at the end. Stupid penalty on a third down stop late gave Seattle a first down. They took three knees and ended it. Back to Dorrance Armstrong. This is the biggest issue right now with this football team. This is a bigger issue than the wide receiver problem. Obviously, because it looks like Terry is coming back. I think he might be back Monday night. I'm hearing that there's a pretty good chance Terry's going to play Monday night. We'll see as the week goes on. There was no update from Quinn on that. In fact, I don't even think he was asked about Terry or Debo in the press conference yesterday. He was also not asked about Joe Witt Jr., although he did give John Keim an answer to, you know, remember the night before when he said, we're going to look at everything. Keim, by the way, will be with us this morning at 11 a.m. But there is no doubt in my mind that their biggest issue right now is defensive end. People, they have lost their two starting defensive ends, Dietrich Wise and now Dorrance Armstrong. Dorrance Armstrong, easily, you could say, best defensive player on the team this year so far. They lost Javonte John-Baptiste, their backup defensive end. Right now, on Monday night, they're going to go out there with Jacob Martin and Preston Smith as their starting defensive ends. Von Miller didn't sign here to play 40 snaps as a defensive end on first down. He's specialty. Preston Smith was supposed to be kind of the same thing. Now, they cut over the weekend to make room for Cosme, the kid Jalen Holmes. I would imagine if they haven't done it already, we're going to get news on that, that they're going to try to re-sign Jalen Holmes. They have to. They don't have any defensive ends on the team. They don't have one edge-setting, run-stopping defensive end on the team right now. Not one. Jacob Martin's not that. Martin has done a nice job as a pass rusher, not against the run. This is a much bigger issue than receiver because the receivers are coming back. These guys are done. I feel awful for Dorrance Armstrong. What a season he was having on a bad defense. I get it. Terrible defensive football team, no doubt. But he was a bright light on that bad defense. And now you're going to trot out against the Kansas City Chiefs, Preston Smith, and Jacob Martin. You can't ask Von Miller to line it up on every snap. They'll be making moves. There is no doubt about that. Look, injuries, you know, I always get a kick out of the people that, you know, want to go full Doc. And nobody loves my guy Doc Walker more than I do. But go full Doc and do the next man up. And it doesn't mean that next man up is exclusive from they've been hit by the injury bug and that is impacting their season. Both things are true. You have to, if you're in the locker room and in that building, say, we got to find answers. You're not wallowing in it. You're creating and coming up with solutions. That's what competitors do. From our standpoint, from a fan standpoint, we can look at the big picture and say, yeah, they've been hit big time by the injury bug. There is no doubt about it. Dietrich Wise, starter, done for the year. Will Harris, starter, done for the year. Dorrance Armstrong, starter, done for the year. Javonte John-Baptiste, backup defensive end, injured, done for the year. On offense, we know what they've been going through, obviously. Austin Eckler, done for the year. You know, the receiver room has been a disaster. I can't even think of all the injuries right now that they've had. And it's been impactful.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year, Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
They are a reality. Injuries are probably the number two determining factor in a game and in a season. If you don't think that that's worthwhile to at least acknowledge, you haven't been a football fan and haven't watched this league. This league is a league of attrition. The healthier teams end up being the winningest teams in a given season. Sure, there are examples like the 49ers right now of overcoming a lot of injuries. They're 5-2. And of course, Washington's going to have that opportunity. But it's number two on the list behind quarterback. Number two. In terms of a determinant on seasons and on games, injuries, quarterback one, injuries two, and then you probably go, you know, O-line, D-line, pass rusher, etc. Washington's been hit bad by the injury bug. And the receiver situation isn't great, but I think it can get better. The defensive end situation on a defense that, you know, can't cover, can't stop the run, and they make up for it by being horrible at tackling, it's a problem to lose Dorrance Armstrong, one of the only really good, consistent performers this season. Feel badly for him, man. He had a great end of season last year, and he was having a season this year, leading the team in sacks with 5.5, leading the team in TFLs, tackles for loss, with 7. He's 28 years old. They'll have an opportunity with him next year. But a big loss in the defensive end situation, especially given how they've been run over by DeAndre Swift and then by Javonte Williams on Sunday. This is going to be a concern. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco is probably thinking, I might be able to go for a $180 on Monday night against this defense. And then, you know, if they load the box and they start doing some things to try to take the run away, oh boy, coverage, secondary, big problem. I did want to just circle back real quickly on something, and I'll get it out of the way pretty quickly. Where's this email that I had from my guy, Rick? There were a couple of calls and a couple of emails yesterday and tweets from people saying, well, here it is. Rick summed it up for several of you. I'm going to say several of you because I don't think it's anywhere near a lot of you. Rick wrote, Kevin, I'm a huge fan of Jaden, just like you. But I think Mariota played very well off the bench today. He obviously sent this to me Sunday night. And has already proven that there's very little difference between in the offense between him and Jaden. So if he has to start a few more games, that's fine. And I appreciate the idea of it's fine if Marcus Mariota has to start games. I don't disagree with you. I think it's a great backup quarterback situation that we have on this team. Marcus Mariota, first of all, is a hell of a person, total class act, totally, you know, acknowledges, recognizes, and embraces his role as, you know, a senior statesman in the quarterback room, as a mentor, and as a backup. You know, he's not looking for, at least now, a starting opportunity anymore. I think he has come to grips with knowing who he is, what he is, and how he can be super effective. By the way, at his age, he could do this for several more years with Jaden Daniels in Washington as the backup. There's no reason that this quarterback room needs to change. Maybe Mariota gets an opportunity. There are always opportunities. But I don't know that there would have been any last year. And it's got to be the right fit for him, you know, stylistically, offense-wise. And this is the perfect fit for him. He is a true dual-threat quarterback and looks great as a dual-threat quarterback. I mean, he looks, like I said yesterday, on those zone reads, he looks like the Oregon Heisman Trophy-winning Marcus Mariota. I'm a fan of Marcus Mariota. And if they have to trot him out there on Monday night, I feel good that it's going to be a professional effort. But all due respect to those of you who think he played well on Sunday, I don't know what game you were watching. I said this yesterday to a caller, I think, who brought it up. I mean, he had a couple of good runs on those zone reads, excellent runs. And that was it. Maybe a throw or two. He had the lowest, for whatever it's worth, okay, and I'm with most of you on this. PFF is a tool, Pro Football Focus. It is a tool. It's not the end-all be-all. But Pro Football Focus had him as the lowest-rated offensive player in the game, 21 snaps. His QBR in the game was 7.4. That ain't good. So I don't know what you were watching, Rick, and some of the others that looked at Marcus Mariota on Sunday and said, that looked good. That looked really good. No, it wasn't good. But in his defense, he had the same limitations that Jaden had at wide receiver. When he came into the game, it was 34-15, basically game over. Okay, so it wasn't an ideal situation for him to come into. I'm not killing him because he didn't play well. I'm just completely mystified as to why anybody would watch that game and say, we're fine with Mariota. We're good. No, we need five. You know what's interesting? After I went back and watched the game yesterday, and I watched the All-22, painful, by the way, and I'm going to pick apart one specific play on the show today, the 74-yard touchdown pass to CeeDee Lamb. Because one of the things, and I'll just get this out of the way, there was actually some decent coverage in the game. Amos had a couple of decent coverages. Lattimore had a couple of decent coverages. He did. The pass at the end of the first half to Pickens, I don't know how you cover that any better than Lattimore did. But one of the things that I, you know, really saw, and I said this yesterday on the show, we have seen a lot of games now, you know, with Cliff Kingsbury, Jaden Daniels, this offense. 20 last year, and what do we have now? 5 this year, right? He has started 5 of the games. Giant game, Green Bay game. 4. He started 4 of the games, right? Mariota started the Raiders game, the Falcons game.
That's it.
That he just started 2. So Jaden started 5 games this year.
Yes.
Yeah, and Mariota and Jaden played a half game against. Yeah. So Giants, Packers, Chargers, Bears, right? Cowboys. My fault. We've seen a lot of those games where, you know, didn't look great. Up and down, roller coaster first half, only to really find their stride and hit their rhythm in the second half and unload on somebody. I honestly believe, after watching, you know, the game, I think they were on the verge of having a really good half offensively. I don't know that it would have been good enough because they couldn't stop Dallas. It's kind of like the, you know, the Philadelphia NFC title game. I'm just bringing up one example of the offense actually didn't play badly in that game. The turnovers obviously killed them, and the mistakes. And the mistakes in this game killed the opportunities they had on offense, too. Too many penalties, too many drop passes, and then ultimately 2 turnovers. But they had, you know, roared down the field at the end of the first half for a touchdown to make it 20-15. More on that drive coming up when I get to sort of an upon further review segment today. And then they're on the move, you know, in the third quarter. Down 27-15. Would have been nice if it was 20-15 or 23-15. But they're in the midst of, you know, a 6-7 play drive. Jaden on that 3rd-and-2, you know, had got to the sideline, stretched the ball out, moved the sticks. They did try to run the football a little bit, you know, with Kroski Merritt, and he got stoned on first down. They actually ran it on 2 first downs on that drive. And then, you know, it's a 3rd-and-10, and Jaden does Jaden stuff. You know, pressure, extends, and then throws to Chris Moore for 15 yards to move the sticks there at the Dallas 39-yard line. Next play was the free runner, the sack, the fumble, done. Ball game. At that point, it felt like ball game. 27-15. You knew it was going to be 34-15 or 30-15, given the field position that Dallas had. But they were on the move there, and I think I tweeted at halftime, they're going to need 24 minimum in the second half to have an opportunity. And I think they may have been headed towards that kind of second half. You know, they had, in the first half, they did have 15 points, which in 214 yards, you know, through 30 minutes, that would extrapolate out to 30 points and 428 yards of offense for a team that was a bit disjointed, and I agree with that. And after watching the game again, they were just out of sync. You know, everything was a little bit out of sync. And I will guarantee you that behind closed doors, without using it as an excuse, they would tell you it was a bit rough at wide receiver. The guy that ended up leading our team in catches, Robbie Chosen, you know, has gotten 10 total reps since he arrived here, or whatever the total of number of reps he's probably gotten. It's probably been minimal. And then, you know, you're facing a team that recognizes that they can actually play man for the first time this year because the receiving threat isn't a big threat. Yeah, this was a game in which they missed not having at least one of the two, Debo or Terry. Having both of them out, we now know, is problematic. But problematic means a little bit disjointed, a little bit out of sync. But 15 points and 215 yards in 30 minutes, and on the move with a chance to cut it to 27-22 in the third quarter. So I do think that there was some good out of the offense, just out of sync, but it wasn't a terrible outing. They just self-inflicted mistakes, penalties, drop passes, and then the turnovers came in the second half. By the way, on that sack, I don't know who would get the blame for it, but there's a free runner. It could have been on Jaden to not identify it pre-snap. It could have been. Let's get to a what do you got.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.